And let's leave the politics of education for a moment, we now see in play, and take a step back and remind ourselves what Gonski's proposals are and what can be achieved before the September 14 election. Field Rickards is Dean of the Melbourne Graduate School of Education at the University of Melbourne, and he's here to guide us through the complexities of education reform.
I think it's worth understanding why we had a review in the first place, and I think it's fair because I think it leads into the recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
The first is that it's the current funding system for schools, which expires at the end of this year. It's fair to say it's clunky, it's opaque, it's inequitable. Each state treats government schools in a different way. Each state treats non-government schools in a different way. And the states are responsible for schooling, but clearly the money largely comes from the Commonwealth. And that's really what's led to such a complicated system. So that's the first thing. And in particular, the variation that states have in the way they provide for students with particular needs, those with disability, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But the second really relates to the way that Australia's tracking in an international comparison, and the comparison we often use is the so-called PISA program, which looks at how 15-year-olds are getting on. There are two really concerning things about the PISA program. Over the last 9 years, Australia has in real terms been going backwards in terms of our 15-year-old performance. And relative to other countries, we're falling behind. They're going ahead. That's one thing. The second thing is we have an unacceptable gap between our highest achievers and our lowest achievers. I mean, we expect normal variation in students' performance, but Australia really has a higher than average gap. So these are the two areas of concern. So what did it recommend? Well, the first thing it said was, we need a significant increase in funding across all school sectors,
mm-hmm.
but the vast majority of that funding has to go to the government sector. And the reason for that is the government sector has a much higher proportion of students from disadvantage. And we're talking about students from low SES, non-English speaking backgrounds, those sorts of things. You mentioned the figure of $5 billion. It's probably, in today's terms, probably about $6.5 billion. This represents about a 15% increase in the total funding that we put into education, which is about $40 billion when you take all sources, private and public. The second thing they said was, not only do we need an increase in funding, but let's have a model that says how we apply the funding. So they talk about a school resourcing standard.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be separate amounts according to whether you're a primary student or a secondary student.
But it'll be a basic standard that starts the same for everyone, no matter what kind of school they're in.
Correct. Now, there's a few adjustments. The adjustments are loadings for additional costs according to need. So there'll be an adjustment for socioeconomic background. There'll be adjustment for disability, an adjustment for English language proficiency, Indigenous students, school size, school location. They start from a reference point, and this is quite interesting the way they've calibrated it, because they've based the reference point on the current funding that schools are using. These schools are ones that are achieving high educational outcomes. So they've looked at schools that are achieving high educational outcomes and said, well, how much funding do they need? Now, the other element of this is they've come up with a scale, and this is where it gets a bit imprecise. They've come up with a scale that says if a school has a greater ability for private income, it will receive less government funding. And they'll base that on an SES type of scale, but as you said in your introduction, you know, these details haven't been worked out yet.
That's the point, isn't it? I mean, the government has responded by saying, okay, we want Australia to be top five in the world by 2025. The roadmap to that, according to the government, are the Gonski reforms, as you've just been reminding us what they are. So we have that motherhood statement, that commitment. But have we seen any further detail or measure since then about how that's going to be achieved?
Well, I think this is where we've got a bit of an issue, because we've got a fair bit of argument between the federal government, the state governments, the sectors, the Catholic sector, the independent sector, because they're all, I mean, there is a statement in the Gonski Review that says that, or the government's response was, no school will lose a dollar of funding.
Yes.
It's a bit unclear about then what the details will be. So while the federal government's response is positive, the major criticisms is, as you've said, is the lack of detail. And I think, there's really now only two states or territories that have Labor governments, and this makes negotiations complex. And
so that's the point here, that we have a September 14 deadline, which is the election. The government will announce its funding model for Gonski in the May budget, by and large. But it's still yet to be worked out with not just the states, but also the different school stakeholders, the independent, the public, all those. It's still not nutted out. That's an awful lot to be done. What of that can be achieved before the 14th of September, would you think?
Well, it's hard to tell. I mean, what the issue is this going to be a top-down, accountability-driven system for reform? Mm. Or, as the states would prefer to say, can you leave it to us to work out how we're going to, through the professionalisation of teachers and principals, do it as a bottom-up? So there's the issue about accountability, I think, is a very important one. And systems that are based on accountability, achieving certain standards for everybody, are systems that have failed in the past. So it's got to be really, how do we build and support the profession, the people who actually drive the reform?
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest this morning is Field Rickards, Dean of the Melbourne Graduate School of Education at the University of Melbourne. He is helping us understand the scope of the Gonski reforms, which the Gillard government is committed to, but we don't have any detail really yet on how the government's going to fund it, and then what would be the way that those reforms, the goals of Gonski, if you like, are implemented. Field Rickards, it's a monster, isn't it? It's two streams here that are both massive to deal with. One is the funding agreement. It's all very well to say a school standard, and you think everyone might agree to that and top-ups for difficult students. But as you say, when you get into that, then you have this notion, if a school has capacity to raise funds, well, then they receive less. What does that actually mean? That's sort of threatening and likely to get people arguing. But then the accountability, the how you achieve the raise in standards, money won't do that alone. You've got to apply the right changes to how you get better teachers, the how you do the testing, does that work? And that's where you think the government's not necessarily got the right formula in mind.
Well, achieving standards is one thing, but I mean, everyone comes into the world with different abilities. The most important thing, I believe, is for every teacher to have the highest expectations for every student, no matter what their ability. But every teacher should be looking for growth in every student, not just achieving a certain standard. As I said it a few minutes ago, I mean, we're falling backwards in an international ranking. What's really interesting is that it's our top-performing students that are falling backwards at the greatest rate. So we're not stretching our top students. There's been a large focus on those students from low SES, and rightly so. And so we should be ranking schools on who's adding most to student learning rather than whether they've reached a particular benchmark, which might to some extent have some sort of arbitrary spin on it anyway.
And meanwhile, and just finally, time is of the issue here for schools, because as you've told us, the current funding agreement for schools ends at the end of this year. Already, the Catholic school system is saying that new schools aren't being built because they don't know when this funding will come and how much it will be. What's the timeline here? When do schools need answers?
I think if there was broad agreement by the middle of the year, they can plan appropriately. But at the moment, all they can do is just assume that the current system will remain in place until there's a change. But that leaves a great deal of uncertainty. But there are some wonderful educators out there, and if they knew that these resources were going to be available to target those students with additional needs, they could then plan for it. One thing that's missing from the Gonski review, I think, is a very worrying trend of migration of students out of the government sector and into the independent sector. 30 years ago, just under 7% of Australia's school students were in the independent sector. That's now doubled. It's been a steady increase. It's now 14%. That's the equity issue. And if this trend continues, the government education system in this country, or the systems in this country, will become residual systems that really are dominated by people of disadvantage. That the 6.5 or 5 billion, whichever it happens to be, and I think the opposition have estimated it to be about 8 billion, that 15%, if it is focused in the right way and applied in the right way, it's a necessary condition to stop the trend and to start building or rebuilding an outstanding government education system.
Field Rickards, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thank you very much, Fran.
Phil Rickards is the Dean of the Melbourne Graduate School of Education at the University of Melbourne, talking about the importance, indeed the urgency, of improving not just our funding model for teaching our kids, but also our teaching model. And you'd have to say there's some question mark over the funding and the Gonski reforms. The country's gone through that whole process, but now it's there with the politicians, as we heard earlier from the Queensland State Minister. The feds and the states seem to be a fair way away from agreement, and there's not that much time left to get it sorted. It's 8:26 on Breakfast.